Please stand if you are able for the gospel reading, which is taken from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the gospel of Christ.
Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Please be seated. The choir sang beautifully, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And for us, it's just, even though once a year we celebrate, observe Palm Sunday, we get to say, "Hosanna." Let's say all together, "Hosanna."
Hosanna.
I hope you know the meaning, right? Save us, save us. Wow. Our wonderful, beautiful children have done wonderful procession with Jesus. Entering into Jerusalem. My first time with you, with this church, that was awesome. That was awesome. Praise God. Christians seem to commemorate strange things. We make a big deal over the fact that Jesus was born in a cave or a stable full of smelly animals into a poor Jewish family. We tell all sorts of stories about Jesus' closest followers, his most devoted disciples, focusing on their being fishermen and recalling fondly how they constantly misunderstood him, doubted him, talked back to him, and betrayed him. Most of all, we actually admit that, well, yes, Jesus was executed as a state criminal, crucified between a couple of common thieves, and he died hanging on that ugly cross. Not the least strange among these odd celebrations is Palm Sunday. Jesus, an itinerant prophet out of Nazareth, mounted a borrowed, half-grown donkey and accompanied by the crowd that always seemed to hang around him, bumped his way through the city gate on the outskirts of town. That was the whole event. That was it. There was no more to it. The crowd lost its energy and momentum and quickly dispersed. Someone returned the donkey to his rightful owner. Jesus and his close friends began to wander around to see the sight. Yet, do you want to hear something really odd? As he entered the city, Jesus was filled with confidence in the power of his weakness. In most Eastern cultures, the tradition of bowing has always been a part of refined social etiquette. I was born and raised in Korea, one of the countries in Asia, part of Eastern cultures, I guess. By bowing and bending to each other, members of Eastern cultures generally show respect and humility before others. There exists a whole language of bowing, bows of different depth for different purposes to subtly communicate agreement, disagreement, reverence, even challenge. Those in lower, less exalted positions show their respect and humility before those in power by bowing. Korean families, especially from my experience, gather together on New Year's Day, and then the children express their love and respect to their parents and grandparents by bowing down, like your forehead is almost touching your floor, like a dead bow. I mean, yes, the lower, the more respect. Well, Western cultures has never gone in much for bowing, right? Unless you are an active square dancer, you are not likely ever to see anyone bow to another person as a gesture of humility and respect. What has always driven the Western culture forward is an enthusiastic can-do spirit that confidently looks at every obstacle as a challenge. For Americans, the body language that best suits our style is the thumbs up signal, right? Thumbs up, right? Everyone from astronaut about to take flight to 5-year-old about to swing the baseball bat knows that a thumbs up sign means confidence. Everything is A-okay, and you can do it. We encourage both others and ourselves by flashing the thumbs-up sign whenever we are about to take on a new challenge. There is nothing wrong with such a positive, confident outlook, just as there is nothing wrong with projecting a sense of humility and respect before others. The challenge to which Christians must rise is to balance both these attitudes successfully, being confident without being puffed up, being humble without being a doormat. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on that donkey colt, he did just that. The little donkey bearing the travel-stained, wandering teacher into the city illustrated Jesus' humble obedience to the divine plan of redemption. This was no sign of power. It was a sign of love at work. But even as Jesus humbly bowed to the form, his messiahship must take. He knew this was triumphal entry. This was divine love in action and the power which would break the cycle of sin and death. When we bow our bodies before God in prayer, we are emptied of any illusions we may still harbor about our power and our importance. When we bow before God, we are nothing. We become nothing. A kneeling spirit is no longer full of itself. It is emptied out and opened up for the filling of God's spirit. We've had a wonderful Lenten Bible study this year, Restored. That is the title of the book we have shared together. It was a wonderful time of learning and fellowship together. The best part was soup, right? In order to stand before God, maybe kneeling or bowing, the very first we need to do is empty ourselves. We have to admit that we are sinners. I am responsible for who I am. Confession. Unless your heart is emptied out, we cannot fill it with God's Spirit. That's why it's somewhat unpleasant experience when you go through repentance, when you go through all this confession mode. But yet, when we empty it out, finally we can fill it, fill our heart with God's presence, God's Spirit, God's love, God's mercy, God's grace. Only from a kneeling position, bowing position, are we able to receive into our lives the power of God's redeeming love. Apostle Paul describes here in Philippians chapter verse 5, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in a human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. When Apostle Paul urged the Philippians to be of the same mind as Christ, to imitate him in humility and obedience, he was saying, kneel down and empty out. Jesus emptied himself on his divinity in order to come to us in humble human form. We must empty ourselves of our pride and our self-confidence in order to be filled with divine love Christ offers us. In the face of some life's biggest challenges, the way we indicate our thumbs up confidence is by bowing down, kneeling down. Let us kneel in the face of the violence in our streets, in our homes, around the world, and pray to God. Let us kneel in the face of the poor and the hungry who are still found everywhere among us and pray to God. Let us kneel in the face of the hatred and prejudice that tears nations and neighborhoods apart and pray to God. Let us kneel in the face of the diseases we still cannot control or cure and pray to God. Let us kneel in the face of the ravages we have committed against our earth, waters, lands, skies, even people, and pray to God. That we are called to rise now that we are emptied of our false hopes, selfish desires, and insincere words. God fills us with both the humility and the confidence we need to make a difference for God in the world. From our knees, we can rejoice, and from there, we can give the two thumbs up sign to the whole world. Now, let's march with Jesus on the Jerusalems of our day to make a difference and give a witness. Let's walk the final week of our Lenten journey with Christ. We are invited to Holy Thursday service to remember the greatest commandment that Jesus has given us. And on Good Friday service, we are to experience the greatest love shown on the cross. The suffering and the death of Christ, but that's not the end of the story. The Sunday is coming. We will be celebrating the glorious Easter with the risen Christ. Verse 9 from Philippians text, therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us stand and sing the hymn of dedication.